Now, let's see. We're coming on down to, I think we better go now to page 32. Take a look at those. I want you to see how these fit in. Now, you'll see if you need to find it quickly on page 32. See the star in the center of the circle? Okay, there's your expression that we're looking for. So look at 2 Corinthians 1. Paul, an apostle of what? Messiah Jesus. Now this time, we have the Messiah first and Jesus second. All right? And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints that are in the whole Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there's no the. And Jehovah, Jesus, Messiah. Now, he's an apostle of Jesus in the other places, but in this particular place, you notice he's apostle of the Messiah. Probably in the sense that he's bringing the ministry of salvation particularly, carrying that message. Now, here again, there's a reason to weigh these and doubt them, but that's why you have the data. You've got here before you 56 pages of the material. You have all the references. So we've done that kind of work, and you can take it from there. We're not exhausting this subject. I don't want you to have any idea we're even hardly scratching the surface of the subject. But at least it's an insight into some of the niceties of the Word of God. All right, let's go a little bit further. Page 35, we'll pick up another one. Way down there at the bottom. Now this one, incidentally, there are problems in the text. This is Galatians 1, look at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jehovah Jesus Christ. But that's omitted by Nestle. Now you want to face up to the fact that sometimes these are in or out due to the critical problem of some of the texts. And don't just say they don't exist, because they do. That word our isn't in there. Now, that's what's omitted. Not the whole thing. Just the our. See, I bracketed the our in Galatians. Now, that's why I better explain that. Let me do it again a little more carefully. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our. Our is bracketed because the Nestle text omits it. And there's a little problem there in the text. But you still have Lord Jesus Christ with no article. But you see, by the American Standard and the King James inserting an our Lord Jesus Christ, they reduced it to a kind of a title again. Now, if that stays out, then you have the expression Jehovah, Jesus, Messiah, exactly like we've had. But our qualifies it like a the does. It does almost the same thing. All right, now your next one will be all the way down to 37, page 37. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of now Messiah Jesus, through the will of God to the saints that are at Ephesus and the faithful in Messiah Jesus, that is, it within Messiah Jesus. We're going to take up these in expressions separately. You're going to see, within Messiah Jesus, that's your protection. Remember I talked to you some time ago about the blood capsule? And that you enter into the Holy of Holies in the blood, within the blood protection. I don't know how that works. I haven't the faintest idea. But he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that was an animal blood that was a sign only. So with his own blood, he prepared it. And he speaks of us as being in the blood. And you're protected by the blood from God the Father. Otherwise, you haven't any chance at all. You come into the presence of a just and wrathful God, fear Jehovah, and you come into his presence. But with the veil rent and entering in the blood, you're protected as you go into the presence of God. And therefore, the veil was rent, because now in the blood of Christ, you have access into the presence of Jehovah the Father. And that's the only way. So it's very important, these ends. And we're going to come back on those ends a little bit later. And then you go to Ephesians 2. Grace to you and peace from Ephesians 1, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Jehovah Jesus Messiah. So you have God the Father set up separately and Jehovah Jesus Messiah. Now, what this is doing too, in addition to what we're already doing, is this. It's making it clear that Jesus is always called Jehovah. He's one of the Jehovahs. It verifies the fact that in the theophanies of the Old Testament, whenever there were appearances, that's the Jehovah, the Messiah, in the Old Testament. And that's why he appears under that title there and in the New as well. If you keep leaving out the Jehovahs in the New Testament, you lose sight of the fact of his pre-existence. So today what has happened? In our churches, as far as the average church is concerned, Jesus was an unfortunate little baby born in Bethlehem who unfortunately lived under the Caesars and was put to death for some ideal. Then, of course, they kind of gloss over the fact that he rose from the dead. That's a little too much to handle. And so they have a finite Jesus. They just have a man, Jesus, who was a good man, one of the great leaders, no doubt, like Muhammad and Buddha. Horrors! That's not true at all. Nothing could be further from the truth. And that's why within the Spirit only can you know Jesus is Jehovah. And knowing Jesus is Jehovah, where does that put Buddha and all the rest of them? They're not in that class at all. They're corrupt, devilish sinners following their own lusts and their own ways. Muhammad and all of these, they weren't saints of God at all. And so you don't put them in the same class at all. And this keeps Jesus in that category. But we've left them out. And when you call, say, Jesus the Lord, or our Lord Jesus Christ, you lose the whole idea of his Jehovahship, who he really is, the name above all names. That's the emphasis I'm trying to get. Now you see enough of these, I think, so that you can take up every one of them as you go. They're all worth taking up, and you'll see a lot in them. If we run out of things to do, we'll come back and maybe take a look at some of the rest of those. Now these passages have no article before Kurios. Now that's the established fact we've done so far. And we have now built up 20 more. I believe the person of the Holy Spirit gave us the scripture. This is the E page I'm on, I'm sorry. And believing this, I must accept the omission of the article as intentional and omitted to convey a special meaning. This fact is especially true in view of the fact that the phrase ton kurion Yesun Christon, the Lord Jesus Messiah, occurs frequently. Now, you see what I'm saying? You have both expressions. Kurios without the article, Jesus Messiah. Kurios with the article, Jesus Messiah. Therefore, I have to say, believing every word to be of God, that when the article is left out, it is left out with a reason. When it's put in with a reason. I'm not interested in Paul and his reason. I'm interested in the Holy Spirit's reason of why he inspired them to put in and leave out the article, alternating back and forth. And they both occur. From what I've shown you earlier, out of 66 proof texts, Kurios without the article is Jehovah. So when he puts the article in, he intends you to read the Lord, understanding him in that kind of a content that he is the controller of your life, if you like, in that content. But that when the article is out, then you're to understand him as the originator of the entire plan of salvation and the creation and everything. All things consist by him. So you understand it differently without the article. That's the point. And so it's important that you see that. Now, the one example is in Romans 13, 14. And the phrase, to kurio of us, Jesus Christ, the Lord of us, Jesus Messiah, also is common. These two phrases occur some 42 times. That is, the two of them together. Now, excuse me, let me look at this a minute here with you, because you may not see this. Look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the eighth line down. Ton kurion Jesun Christon. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now the expression I'm comparing it to is two more lines down. Two is underlined. Kurio, the article. The Lord. See, the next word is the one I'm particularly dwelling on. Hamon, our. Now those expressions, and then Jesus Christ. Now they're not quite alike. The possessive pronoun is in there in that second. And what I'm saying is those two phrases, both of them saying the Lord, but one the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The two together total up to some 42 times. All right, let's look at one. Romans 13, 14. All you do is come down your left side of your page, page 24, in your supporting data. Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus, Messiah, and make not provision for the flesh. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, since he's saying put on the Lord Jesus Christ, at the present, he can't use our. He's telling you to do that. Once you do that, then he can refer to our Lord Jesus Christ. But until you do that, he can't. Because he's not Lord of anybody that has not accepted him as their personal Savior. So I can't say to you, if you're not a saved person, I can't just say to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's not. I have to say the Lord Jesus Christ. See how careful it is? You can't do that. Now, the other one, to compare it, look at Romans 15, 6. And look at 5. Begin 5 begins the sentence. Now, the God of patience and comfort grant you to be of the same mind one with another according to Messiah Jesus, that with one accord ye may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's one of the expressions. They're going to glorify God with one mouth. So therefore they're all of the same mind. Now he can put in our. Our. Very carefully how it's done. All right, coming back on page E. Now those expressions occur a total of 42 times. Jehovah, Jesus Messiah. Now that's the one we've been dealing with. That's the one that occurs 20 times and the article is missing. If we wish to show the true meaning of the phrase, in spite of these facts, King James, without justification, inserts the article the in 16 of the 19 times. That is, they put the Jehovah or the Lord, Jesus Messiah, 16 of the 19. Again, an absolutely unwarranted insertion of an article. Now we go to the F point. We must consider another phrase that uses kurios, that is en kurio, in Jehovah. The phrase with the article occurs more than 100 times, ho kurios, that is, in the Lord. As we have shown, kurios, without the article, is a proper name and meaning, although Lord is the correct translation, Jehovah. When the article is inserted, kurios becomes a title, the Lord. Actually, there are cases, see the above, where ho kurios does mean Jehovah, probably the Jehovah. of 48 uses of the particular phrase in and curio, that is within Jehovah, in Jehovah, King James inserts unjustified articles 46 times out of 48. They sprinkled those around like they were running out of style or something. They've got them everywhere they don't belong. And they don't show them in italics. Note the statement by Dr. A.T. Robertson. This is very important for you to keep in mind. You want to mark it. In his Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 756, the translators of the King James Version, now this fellow is the daddy of grammarians of our century, he has a great big thick grammar, under the influence of the Vulgate, that's the Latin, they were going by Latin instead of by Greek, handle the Greek article loosely and inaccurately. You see that? And he's the authority. And he says they handle it loosely and inaccurately. The phrases en curio are indicated in the numbered pages by this mark. Now, let's take a look at a few of them so you see. Now, you wanted to find those in Jehovah. You just have to take your book and you start turning your pages. And you start looking for a black dot at the right side. Because there's a whole lot of these, as I've told you. And I think your first one you'll come to is on page 24. Anybody what come to one sooner than 24? None sooner than 24. And where are you in the New Testament? In Romans. Because you can't be in Jehovah until Christ died. So you've got in Jehovah way over in Romans. All right, here you are. Romans 14:14. I know and am persuaded in Jehovah Jesus that nothing is unclean of itself. Not in the Lord Jesus, but in Jehovah Jesus, the Creator, nothing is unclean of itself. Remember basically that in is within. The root meaning is within Jehovah Jesus. And I like to think of this as a person being saved, being in Jehovah Jesus. That nothing is unclean of itself, that to him who accounteth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now there's the first one. Now you can keep following over. You'll find one on page 25. Now watch how these read. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church that is in Kenchrea, that you receive her in Jehovah. In Jehovah, as a believer, you say. Okay, now you go down here, slip way down, look how he ends up this Romans letter, verse 12, or actually verse 11. Salute Herodian, my kinsman, salute them of the household of Narcissus that are in Jehovah. There's in Jehovah. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa who labor in Jehovah. Salute Perseus the beloved who labored much in Jehovah. See them? Salute Rufus the chosen in Jehovah and his mother and mine. And then skip to the last part of 16, all the churches of Christ salute you, the assemblies of the Messiah. I'm sorry, somewhere, 1, 2, 3, 4, did I get 4? No, verse 13 probably, salute Rufus in Jehovah. You know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them there. Oh, verse 8 I didn't do. Salute Ampliatus, my beloved, in Jehovah. See, the arrows go from there up to in Jehovah, and there's 5 black dots, because there are 5 of them right there in the passage. And these persons are Christians, and they're in Jehovah, and spoken of as being in Jehovah. Okay, so it says we're in Christ, and you know that. We're coming to it when we get to Messiah. Well, but Messiah is Jehovah. Messiah is Jehovah. They're the same person. Jehovah, Jesus, Messiah. Only different aspects of his person. One, the Creator. One in the flesh, and one in the office of redemption. just three offices. So he keeps using that in Jehovah very constantly, as in Messiah, which we'll also see later. Now coming back to G. We will postpone further discussion of Kurios until we have examined the word Christos, Christ, anointed, or Messiah. Now we go to page 1, where we discuss this a little bit. Now I've gone all around page 1, so now we're going to go to page 1. And now we're going to do this entire page, so you can go to page 1 and stay put. An exploration of the meaning of Kurios and Christos in the New Testament. Now that's where I started the course originally. You may notice I keep changing as I go along. And when I started the course there, I was dissatisfied and felt that if we began here, it would be overwhelming. So I went back and put the other pages ahead of it, the lettered pages, so we could develop it a little better. Because here it goes off rather difficultly. Let's take a look. So this is an exploration of the meaning of Kurios and Christos. Now you've got some background for Kurios already. Are they names or titles? When the article is used, what is its meaning or effect? Now we begin with Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus Christ, you see I have Christ in here. I bracketed Messiah, son of David, because at this stage I have not proved to you that Christ should be Messiah. So I'm leaving Christ stand. And you'll see what it is in just a few minutes. Verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Jesus, there's your Greek, the one being called Christ. And you have to understand it as Messiah. Now, why do I bracket them and even put them together to start with? Well, in the first place, the word Christos means anointed. And Messiah in the Old Testament means anointed. So if you were to translate those, you could translate them both anointed. Be perfectly all right. But our Bible has Christ. So for the time being, we're leaving it right that way. Coming to verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham unto David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away to Babylon, 14 generations. From the carrying away to Babylon unto the Messiah, Christ. See, I've got it in the margin that way again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now we've got, and of the Jesus, Messiah, Christ, but I'm still staying with Christ. I haven't proved you've got to change yet. Now come to John 1:40. The sentence right ahead of it. The basic concept of Christos is, of course, Messiah. The Greek word Messias occurs just twice in the New Testament. Here we've got it in John 1:40. One of the two that heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Now, in parenthesis, as an explanation, you have added by the Holy Spirit, which is being interpreted Christ. Now, there's a big difference in the word interpret and translate. And now you're going to have to make some notes across your page, which are not in your book, but I decided to go into at some length. So if you've got your pencil and paper, notice now by John 1:40, you have the Greek text, which it is being translated Christos. And Christos is a transliteration of a Greek word for anointed. Not interpreted. Now, there's the Greek word. Some of you have had a little Greek. I didn't spell it English. Methermenuomenon. Can you follow it? a lot of the letters you know. Watch it again. Meth, that's that funny looking letter with a line across, is a theta, T-H. Meth, air, that isn't a P, that's an R. Air, that's an M, that looks like a U. May, and it looks like an N, is what we call an eta. Then another, an N, looks like a V, E-U-O, another M, E-N-O-N. See? It's a little different. Mether, may, nu, o, men, known. Now, that word occurs a lot of times. Now, if you'd like to look at some text, you'll notice these as you go along. All right? Now, if you will look at Matthew 1:23, let me get this Greek text here and take you to Matthew 1:23 for a moment. Now, if you've got your Greek text, fine. Matthew 1:23. Look, the virgin, you've got the virgin will conceive and will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. Now that's the part you need for a minute, right there. Emmanuel, that's his name, which is being translated with us, the God. Not interpreted. And I don't like to use interpreted there at all. It's more important to us to realize that this is a translation of the word. And there it's clearly, that's the meaning of the word. In Hebrew, I've got the note here in Hebrew. I don't know how I can get this over to you. But in Hebrew, Emmanuel means, that's its meaning, God with us. So he's translating it, not interpreting it. If I interpret something to you, I can leave the pulpit here and I can go over and give you a long explanation to interpret something to you. But if I translate it, there's a big difference. If you are translating as fast as I'm talking, you are saying what I'm saying verbatim. If you are interpreting, you could be writing a concordant... not a concordance, a commentary. You could be writing a commentary if you're interpreting. And that's what we do in the Genesis course. That's what I'm doing now. I'm interpreting Scripture. I'm trying to explain various aspects of it. But if I translate Scripture, I don't put in any words that aren't there in the Greek. I just read it right along exactly as it is. That's a translation. And I wanted to show you, and I'll give you these references, and then you can look them up. Matthew 1:23 is one. Then in Mark 5:41, we have, you can look at the scripture, just read it, but I won't give you the Hebrew for it. Mark 5:41 is another one. This word occurs several times, six I think altogether, no, seven altogether. Mark 5:41, I'll just do a couple. So that you can see. Mark 5:41. Turning these thin pages here slows me to a walk. Mark 5:41. Alright. What we care about, he's saying to her, Talitha Kume, or Kum, which is being translated. They've called it damsel, arise, or little girl, charison. So this is damsel, arise. He's translating. Now all I'm trying to show you is that this word here is the word translate rather than interpret. And if you want to jot these down, here are quickly the other references. Mark 15:22, Mark 15:34, John 1:41, which you have right here, and Acts 4:36, and Acts 13:8. Now those are the uses of this word, methermenuomai, which is the verb translate. not interpret. And this is important.